I noticed last week in church, this church right here, during Pastor Lowe's sermon, the congregation really, really enjoyed the songs that Pastor Lowe's found on the internet regarding Ananias and Sophia, right? I crucified her name. Sophia? Anyway. And he began singing. So I thought, maybe I should look at Google and see if there are any biblical songs on the subject of Stephen and being stoned. Well, what I got was mostly songs from the 60s and 70s, and we can talk about those later, okay? We better pray before we begin. Put your seatbelt on. Hey, Lord, we're looking at your book again. Please help us to learn today what it is you need us to learn so we can be of maximum service to you and to others. Remind us today, Lord, that you have shown us what is good and what you require for us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you. We ask that as your people, you may humble us before you and seek your will for our lives and for this great nation. Help us in our nation to work as never before to strengthen our families and to give our kids hope and a moral foundation for the future, so we may desire to serve you, and in doing so, serving one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scripture reading is fun, isn't it? You want to hide something from a Christian, where do you put it? In the Bible, right? This one, context is king. I was taught many years ago what took place before this. This story is after the resurrection, after the ascension. The church is starting to spread and grow and expanding a bit. The apostles are healing people. They meet furious opposition from the established religious organizations of the time, right? They do this idea of getting deacons or people who will help serve, seven of them, that'll go out and help serve people, distribute food, care for the elder believers. It's congregational care to the max. It's beautiful. So today we're looking at this deacon, this guy named Stephen. His ministry was kind of like a meteor, right? Flying through the night sky and blasting brilliant, bright light. Anyone have any fireworks this last couple of days? My mind went to Steve. Yeah. Spectacular, powerful, right? He made an impression upon you, that's for sure. If you jump back a couple of verses on chapter 6, verse 8, it says this about Stephen, that he was full of grace and power. Love that. We don't know a whole lot about his background, who was his mom and who was his dad, where he went to high school or all that stuff. He was faithful in ministry all the way to his death, right? He carried the message of Christ's love with dignity and grace. So in chapter 6, he gets arrested for his beliefs and his actions. There's a group called the Sanhedrin, really strict religious folks back then that had issues with power and control. They were threatened by his presence. They even made up lies about this Stephen guy. Go look at chapter 6, verse 15, the Sanhedrin, this council. It says this, "And all who sat in council looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel." So my mind goes places when I read the book. My mind was, when's the last time you looked at the face of an angel? It was on Thursday. She's 3 months old now. And I was feeding her, and then burping, and then holding her. A face of an angel. Steve's faith runs really, really deep in him. Chapter 7, please read that at home. Even go back to 6, read 6 and 7. He preaches this impromptu sermon about completely without notes, and it's from memory, and he goes through the entire history, Israel, Abraham, Moses, Egypt, slavery, right? The wilderness, the promised land. He knew where Abraham was buried. He even knew the names of the men who bought the burial plot. He was wise, very wise, a man of wisdom. So if he's a man of wisdom, we know he prays. You heard this story about a young preacher who wanted to have a robe when he was preaching. So the tailor takes measurements of him, right? And he asks, I need to know how long you've been in the ministry. The young preacher says, well, what difference does that make? Everything. I've made a lot of robes. And if you're young in the ministry, you think you know it all and you walk around with your head high and your chest stuck out. So we need to make the robe longer in the front and shorter in the back. But if you've been in the ministry for some time, you know that you're a little bit more level-headed once you've been serving that time and it's level. And then once you've been serving God for a long, long time, you realize you don't know anything. And so you spend most of your time bowed in prayer, asking for wisdom. Or you're on your knees, asking the only one who can help. That one you need shorter in the front and longer in the back. I got to admit, the older I get, the less I seem to understand. I'm like that guy who got stopped by the Arkansas Highway Department or Highway Patrol. He got pulled over and the officer said, got any ID? And the guy replied, about what? My friends, we need, all of us, we need wisdom every single day in our relationships, our finances, work, ministry, children, parents, health, plans for our huge future. Anybody need wisdom here besides me? Ask for it. Ask that guy. What's it say? Ask and you shall receive. Whatever we're facing, don't try to face it alone, okay? Let's learn from Stephen. If we need wisdom, ask for it. Steve's this man of faith and wisdom and prayer and grace. The word's not used in this sentence, but look at chapter 7, verse 56. Can't you just see it when he says this? He says, look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. By grace, we have been saved through faith, and it's not of our own doing. It's a gift from God. It's grace that keeps us going when we think we can't go any farther. It holds us up when we can't hold ourselves up. It sets us apart when we're about to come apart. And Stephen had it when he was under fire in front of that council. Lot of stuff going on. Steve's really in trouble. And he's getting angrier and angrier, and the council's getting angrier and angrier. And then he says this in verse 51. You stiff-necked people who resist the Holy Spirit. I guess that's probably not the right thing he learned at How to Win Friend and Influence Other retreat, right? They accuse him of blasphemy. He knows it's punishable by death, right? He knows how they treated Jesus. He knows this won't turn out well for him. Being stoned to death is a slow and painful death. Something really weird. Verse 60, it says this. He prays for the guys who are stoning him. He says, Lord, do not hold this against them. Have we heard words like that before? Wasn't there some guy on a cross? Don't hold this against them. Oh yeah, then there's a little bit, and then towards the end about, you know, this morning there's this guy named Saul, soon to be called Paul. It says he approved of Stephen's killing. More about him in a couple of weeks, so come back, stay tuned. Stephen, right? He says, what? Stephen, he stares death in the eye, and he has a face of an angel. That's the faith of perfect peace. Jesus won't keep the storms out of our lives, but he will give us peace in the midst of the storms. Sometimes he calms a storm. Sometimes he calms this child. You and me. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, you gave us the first martyr, Stephen, grace to pray for those who took stones against him. Grant that in all of our sufferings for the truth, we may learn to love even our enemies and to seek forgiveness to those who desire to hurt our looking up to heavens to you. You who was sacrificed for us, Jesus Christ, our mediator, our advocate, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.